good morning, Texas. This is Mike Paulson from North Dakota. This is the Cup of Goodness program number 69. And as promised, I'm finally getting around to feet washing and fasting. Now, the last couple days brought forth a program that listed a number of subjects that we need to not only know about, but understand. I've got such a response from the radio listening world out there that we will try to kind of summarize those and give some more scriptures. I think I'm probably going to put a written outline, including the scriptures, online so you can all check into those things that are interested. It's nice to get a response. I heard from somebody down there in the Dallas area again, and I'd like to keep hearing from folks. We'd like to keep this program going. We'd even like to expand this program to someplace else so we can get this program down here self-supporting in the Dallas, Texas area. We'd like to move this thing on to another part of the country and just tell people about the goodness of God. And as I do this, I hope I get a little better at it and help you understand some things. It still isn't the same as having you sitting out there in front of me with your Bibles there and talking about this and answering your questions and discussing it again and trying to reword something. It's just a 30-minute program of here it is. So I guess if you want to keep this thing going, folks, please let me know so we can maybe expand this thing into another station someplace. It would be exciting for me and for those folks that are being taught the severity of God and the gospel of Jesus to the Jews and trying to get people to look for signs, those miracles and healings, you know, and all those different things, and people are finding out that they don't exist and they don't happen, or they're finding out that they do happen and they think that that's the right gospel that's taking place and they're mixed up and Antichrist is just getting his reindeer all prepared and he's just ready to come tooping down here and popping in people's chimneys. And people are just getting ready for him. Boy, before you know it, you'll be putting chips in your hands or in your forehead. And notice it says in, not on. But anyway, and this is about the King James Bible, and no other Bible like it anywhere. And all the other Bibles compare themselves to the King James Bible, and 300 or 400 Bibles later, they still haven't come up with one that they're satisfied with because they keep coming up with more. Now, doesn't that tell you something? That they don't need to? They've got one already done. And that's 1 Corinthians 13:10, rightly dividing the word of God in Timothy. All sorts of things could I just ramble on here. But let's get into program number 69. I promised you I would get into fasting and the washing feet ritual that some people get into and think it's taking place. So let's just kind of get back into the trail here. Now, in the last program, probably three programs ago, I think, we talked about baptism and communion, Lord's Supper. We talked about laying out of hands. We talked about the healing that Paul got into, the head coverings, and ordination, you know, just all these things. And they're all done as signs. They're just proof that he was the Son of God. That's what this is all about. And through Paul's teachings, we have the risen Savior and his teachings to the Gentiles, not to the Jews. Okay, so let's look at this fasting thing. Now, what you end up doing here, again, here's what you do. You get your concordance out, and you get into the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all the way to Revelation, if you want, and type in the word fasting. Now, remember, the doctrine of the New Testament doesn't begin till the death of Christ. So keep that in mind. Hebrews 9:12 talks about that. But they call this the New Testament because it's still about God manifests himself in the flesh in Jesus Christ and comes down here and fulfills the law, crucified, and all, that whole story is just fantastic story. Fastings and feet washing are the very same thing all these other things are. They're signs. And if you type up all the verses that have to deal with fasting, that's Matthew 15, Matthew 17, Mark 8, Mark 9, Luke 2, Acts 10, Acts 14, Acts 27, 1 Corinthians 7, 2 Corinthians 6, and 2 Corinthians 11. You will see there, as you just kind of look at those pages, you will see that the way fastings is talked about in the Gospels is dealing with the fact that he's the Son of God, and there's signs. You get into Acts chapter 10, and you've got Cornelius and Peter. And we'll go over that one. You get into Acts 14 and Acts 27, we see that Paul was involved with fasting. And again, Paul was involved doesn't mean he's teaching that to us. Paul was involved because he was still there. There were still Jews around. And he still has to do these things for signs. And then the last two references in Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and chapter 11, again, it's dealing with talking about Paul and his fastings. There's only one verse that is directed to us, and we will show you how that fits in. but it is not for any of the other purposes. And the purposes for all the other fasting references, 1 Corinthians 7:5 does not deal with that. Keep in mind, fasting is okay. Fasting is fine. Fasting can be very healthy for us. Nobody's saying that fasting is wrong. You can do all the fasting you want. Although nowadays we probably should just call it slowing, because what we do is we kind of cut back on eating. But a true fast, you know. And I've done that, and it was actually good for me physically, health-wise. But to say fasting is ordered by God, to say that Christ wants us to fast and that he will bless us, or fulfill these other references that fasting is talking about, that's just, like I say, that's just bogus gospel if it's taught today that way. Same thing with washing feet. So let's start with the fastings. Now, my intent here is to talk about fasting and washing feet. It just may be, oh, by the way, washing feet is fine. It's an okay thing to do. It's just we don't do it in a manner that Jesus was talking about in the Gospels. Keep that in mind. Fasting is okay, and it certainly is okay to wash your feet. And God tells us to be clean. But don't try to make some spiritual ritual out of either of those things. So we're going to start with fasting. And again, this is probably more along the line of an exhaustive study that I'm probably going into it too detailed. But for those of you that are convincible, not convictable, but convincible, let me show you some things about this fasting thing here. Let's take our Bibles and let's go to Matthew chapter 17. I would suggest a King James Bible. But you want to look at it with your Bible, you go right ahead, and you're going to find out that we're talking about two different things here. Your scriptures don't match up with this thing at all. And you'll probably read them and think, well, that's not all that different. Hey, different is different. It's either the Word of God or it isn't. It's either the scriptures or it isn't. You can't have variations among different copies of the scriptures. It has to be the one that God inspired and preserved. It has to be that which is perfect, and that means completed. So we don't go around tweaking other words and verses out of this thing. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic, and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Oh, really? I thought healing was a big thing. Well, not in this case. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Funny trail, remember, they had to have enough faith for this stuff to work. They did not receive the faith of Jesus Christ like we do. We have to have our faith in Christ, no doubt. We have to put our faith in the risen Savior. But once we do that, and our faith can come and go, it can get stronger, it can get weaker, no doubt, but our faith is not what makes things happen in our spiritual blessing of a life here. But in these guys' case, is that the right phrase, these guys'? Probably not. I've been teaching elementary school every day, so these guys' is what you're going to have to put up with. These guys' faith, it says, O faithless and perverse generation. They couldn't get this guy cured because he didn't have enough faith. And Jesus rebuked the devil. Ooh, how'd he get involved? But he does. And he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. So Jesus could cure him, and the disciples couldn't. Verse 19, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, and ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. I mean, that's how much faith they could have. But it was because of their unbelief. Have you not heard a televangelist, a fantastic preaching, screaming, crying, charismatic-type preacher say, well, you're not getting healed, or you're not getting blessed, you're not getting your house, you didn't get your car, you're not getting your kids fixed, all this kind of stuff, because you haven't got enough faith. Have you ever heard that? I've heard that. And I know you've heard that too. So be honest with me, nod your head up and down and go, yeah, amen, you're right. I've heard that before. Well, think about it. We're in the Gospels. We're talking about Jesus. He said these guys were faithless and a perverse generation. They didn't have enough faith to make this stuff happen. Is that the same thing we got going today? Well, look at verse 21. Here's the kicker for this thing. Howbeit, this kind of healing, this kind of activity they're trying to do here, goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. So there you go. There's an example that prayer and fasting, these guys could have had enough faith to heal somebody. Really. So, obviously, you read this, you think, well, I guess I better start praying and fasting. Because this is what takes place. I mean, when somebody supposedly gets saved or whatever, and they want to read their Bible, where are they going to start? They're going to start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And they're going to start getting all this stuff to them, and they're reading some great stuff because they're reading what Jesus did. So you would think then that, well, I'm going to try this, and it should work. A, it doesn't work. B, it's Gospels. It's that simple. We'll get to what Paul teaches about it in a minute. Well, eventually this morning. Okay, so there's one illustration. Let's go to the same story according to Mark. Let's go to Mark chapter 8. Let's read it there a little bit here. Oh, no, sorry, that's Mark chapter 9, verse 29. Sorry, Mark chapter 9. We're going to go verse 14 again. Mark 9, 14. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitudes answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth. Oh, so that's why Matthew was talking about brought in the devil into this thing. See, so yeah, here's more details. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I speak to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. Verse 19, he answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you, in other words, put up with you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and wallowed foaming. Then he asked his father, how long is it since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Okay, there you go. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Believe what? That he was the Son of God. Okay. And he says, Lord, I believe. You're the Son of God. Now help me with my unbelief. Help me, help thou my unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? Here's the answer. And he said unto them, this kind of stuff that's going on here, this is powerful stuff, spiritualistic stuff. With devils and the whole thing, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. There it is again. Now, as we're reading through that thing, are you thinking to yourself, okay, this is Gospels. Okay. This isn't written to me. It's for me. Did you come up with the thought that, well, let's see, the way we're looking at the Gentile time today, the dispensation of grace, and the fact that the devil himself is going to increase more and more signs, healings, wonders, that kind of thing, miracles and all that. This kind of stuff could be taking place. But see, it doesn't during the dispensation of grace. Will it take place during the tribulation? Well, does it talk about anywhere else about this kind of a thing? Well, what's going to be going on during the tribulation? Well, the Antichrist is going to be down here. That's the devil. It's going to be there. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 5, we see where it says, be sober, be vigilant, verse 8. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Oh, really? See, I know that you have heard pastors preach that verse to you today. You better be careful. You better be sober. You better be vigilant. And then I can use the King James Bible. I'm not sure what the other Bibles say. But it says the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. The devil is not walking about right now. He's not down here. That's the Antichrist. He's not down here yet. But when he's down here, they're going to have to bow down to him. Fasting isn't going to do them a whole lot of good, and they got to just flat bow down to him. And if they don't bow down to him, they're not going to be able to buy food. They're going to be forced into a fast. Is that fasting going to heal anybody? Is that fasting going to protect them? No, they're going to starve. They're going to be weak. They're going to hurt. But if they want to eat, they're going to have to eat and bug some under the rocks or whatever, but they're not going to be able to buy, sell, or trade anything. It's going to be pretty obvious during those days. So during the tribulation, the devil will be walking about. He's seeking whom he may devour. You know? But that's not taking place in the Gospels like that. But the devil has entered into those people. Well, what about during Paul's time? Do we have the kind of issue where we have to have fasting to cut out the devil's spirit? Listen, all you got to do is put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He cuts our soul and spirit away from our flesh. And our flesh can still have spiritual demonic influence, no doubt about it. It's full of filth. It's full of that junk. And can the devil, possess a person? He can possess his flesh. He can be in his flesh. I mean, but we're cut away from that. That's pretty serious stuff. Yeah, that's how bad our flesh is. Our flesh is reeky. It's filthy. But we're cut away from it. Fasting isn't going to work for us. We have no need to fast other than for health purposes. We have no need to fast to get rid of the devil because we're cut away from that flesh and all that baloney. We're looking at the time in the Gospels where people were devilishly influxed with the devils as such and fasting from Jesus. And Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So in the Gospel days, prayer and fasting would get rid of the devil that's in these people. In the tribulation, they're just going to have to not take the mark. And during our time, God cuts us away from the devil, cuts us away from our flesh. And so the devil can have our flesh all he wants, and we just have to stick with our mind to serve the law of God, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, and do the best you can to fight that flesh. You lose battles here, you gain a couple of battles here. Is it because your faith is weak? Well, it could be. But his faith is what keeps us going. Galatians chapter 2. I hope you've been listening through the previous 68 programs and you're starting to get the gist of what I'm trying to get people to understand. The whole Bible is there for us. But the part from Paul is the only stuff that's to us. The rest we can learn about. And if you step back and you do your Bible studies, which is absolutely fascinatingly enjoyable, amongst all of our busy, busy, busy days, we realize that, well, that's the Gospels. And they had the devil spirit in them. Well, that's the tribulation. They'll have the devil on the earth with them. But for us today, well, Christ just cuts us away from all this. That's fantastic. And everybody in Radio Land in Dallas, all the millions of listeners go, amen. I didn't hear it loud enough, though. I'm too far north. By the time the sound gets up to here, it dies in the frozen air. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 8. Let's go back. Let's do some others here. Let's go to Mark chapter 8, and let's look at verse 1. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called the disciples unto him instead, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they now have been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. Well, wouldn't you think that these folks don't have anything to eat? It's kind of like they're caught up in this automatic fast. Jesus says, listen, I mean, these guys, they're hurting for food. And if they fast, they're going to faint by the way. They're not going to make it. So that's what fasting is, by the way. But even Jesus knew that these people don't dare fast. But it's not about devils in people. It's about they didn't have enough food. Okay, well here, let's go to Luke chapter 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. Well, that's about when Jesus was born. Yeah, it was, matter of fact. And if we look at Luke chapter 2, we're going to go down to verse 25. How are we doing for time here? Yeah, see, we're not going to get all this. Luke chapter 2, verse 37. Well, let's go down to verse 25, way up to the top. Do you understand the story here? And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And there's that whole story. We haven't got the time, actually. I look at this to go down that whole story, but you get down to verse 36. Joseph and Mary are there. He's told that this baby is going to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And verse 33, Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. I mean, that's quite the thing to tell you about your young child there. And Simon blessed them and said unto Mary, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel and for a sign, see, that kind of a thing. Yet 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also. Yeah, all this kind of stuff. And the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. That's Jesus going to do that. That's the Bible. That's the King James Bible. That's the Word of God. That's His name. That's a quick little bunny trail. We just kind of veered off just for a minute. Verse 36. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age, and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. See, now there's a lady, and I know aged people, maybe widows, don't know what to do, but they can pray. Well, of course they can pray. Paul says that we should pray without ceasing. Sure, you can be, as they call it, prayer warriors. But to think that you got to throw in fasting and to think that your prayers are going to change people's lives, we start to get into the conceitedness of a lot of praying people. Again, we'd have to study prayer with Paul, which we have done. And you look at the prayers that Paul prayed, and you look at the results, and the results were not physical. And here, this lady served by praying and fasting night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, we've got the law of the Lord taking place here. She didn't leave the temple. And it wasn't a Baptist temple. It was the temple. Jewish. This is what this is all about. How many times do I have to say that? Well, let's go to Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Let's go to Acts chapter 10. I may have to even continue this in tomorrow's program. Wouldn't that be a shocker? Acts chapter 10, verse 30. Here we go. Cornelius. Well, let's go back to verse 25. And we'll skip all the stuff that Peter saw in this dream, which is this vision. That's a spectacular thing of what Peter was even taught here. We go to verse 25. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Well, but Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." Although, knowing Peter, he probably enjoyed that a little bit. Anyway, and as he talked with him, he went in and found that many were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation," a Gentile, of course. "But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean." That's what that vision brought about. "Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying, as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And what do you want me for, Cornelius? And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Therefore, ascend therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee." So here he is, he's praying and fasting, and he's asking for somebody, and God sends him Peter. So if you folks out there have been praying and fasting for the truth, you want God to reveal the truth to you, go get a Bible, get a King James Bible. I'll send you one for free. Not one of these three-column tiny print where you got to have magnifying glasses to read. A nice Bible. I've got a few I can send out. That's fine. So much for praying and fasting. Let's go get yourself a Bible. And have you been praying and fasting to hear the truth? Well, here I am. I am not the truth, but I'll tell you the truth in the King James Bible, rightly divided. Are you willing to admit the fact that maybe your praying and fasting brought me into your life? Well, now, Mr. Paulson, Pastor Paulson, Mr. Mike, you're kind of pushing, aren't you? Yeah, I'm pushing. I'm just trying to tell you that praying and fasting, even if praying and fasting worked today, people wouldn't believe it. Remember when people were praying for Peter because he was arrested? And he got out and he went and knocked on the door and he said, "Listen, this Peter, it can't be you because you're in jail." Talk about no faith. Anyway, that is truly a bunny trail off the trail here. We're back to 32. "Send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter." I guess we're at verse 33. "Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done, thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." So, prayer and fasting brought Peter to Cornelius, and then he started to hear about God. The way of God? What did Paul teach? The way of God more perfectly. Oh, yeah. This is fantastic. This is just so fantastic stuff to understand here. And then you read on there a little bit more here. So we're looking at what time we're looking at here. Looking at it like it's time to kind of close this thing. I guess I'll have to pick it up tomorrow. How are we doing? Yeah, we'll just pick it up tomorrow. Actually, we can just pick it up tomorrow with what Paul says, how Paul deals with fasting. we spent this program looking at the Gospels and the healing and the devils and all this kind of stuff. And then we see a little shindig here with Peter and Cornelius, and they wanted to get together, and Cornelius wanted somebody to come into his life and tell him the truth about God. And yet, I bet you some folks out there this morning have been praying and asking God, show me the truth, because all these different Bibles got me confused. What's going on? I don't like what's going on in church. What's going on? And here I am knocking at your door through your radio trying to show you what a King James Bible does, rightly divided, and you probably don't want to listen. Maybe you don't have enough faith. Maybe you haven't fasted enough. Now, see, that doesn't work. It's here. It's available to you. King James Bible. Don't go to some crummy religious thieving bookstore. You get them from local church publishers, or drop me a line. I'll get one to you one way or the other. Those ones in the Christian religious bookstores, for one thing, they're so messed up. They got so many different crazy notes in them. Don't believe the notes. To get a Bible with no notes and no references, just the text of God, it's right here. I got a bunch of them. I'll let you know. You let me know and I'll send them to you. So that's it for this morning, program number 69. We will continue program 69 with program 70 tomorrow, and we'll finish this thing up about fasting, and that gives me a way to kind of get the washing feet filled into this thing too. So it all works out fine. Anyway, there you go, folks. Enjoy your warmth down there in Texas, because we've had a few chilly days here.